The authors have entitled our lesson today, Under Sin's Power, found in Romans 3, 9 through 20. Printed text and Under Sin's Power. It's very interesting, this lesson. On my birthday, most of you who've been around me a long time know that my favorite book in the Bible is in fact John. My favorite book is the Bible. My favorite book in the Bible is John. But one of my, what I call extraneous reading materials, my favorite, and as a matter of fact, on a few occasions throughout these years, my daughter has remembered and forgot that this is my favorite book. It was a book called Animal Farm. Animal Farm, one of my favorite books. You said, now, wait a minute, that don't even sound right. Deacon Snead and Animal Farm. But what it was a satire, a critical analysis of government and how it works, all kinds of themes, power, justice, peace, mercy. And basically, the story is about animals on a farm. And they are treated by what they talk, called the cruel master, who is the owner of the farm, and so forth and so on. And the pigs become the head honchos of the farm. And, you know, and even though they had talked about justice, equality, and peace, in due time, they acted just like their former oppressors. And basically, the conclusion is that no matter what the condition, these certain animals, these certain, whether they be human or otherwise, they have a nature, and that nature is corrupt. And given to themselves, if left alone, even in the most ideal situation, they'll act up. In other words, they will, as my grandmother would say, they will act a fool. They will certainly act a fool. And the reason, especially when you're talking about human beings, is our nature. We are sinners. Now, I know some of you, you visitors, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost and die with power from on high, say, ain't no way I'm a sinner. I used to be a sinner. You are a sinner. Okay? And if you think you're not a sinner, you're a good candidate for Basic Doctrine, which starts the second Tuesday in September. And I will show you, I will use it. But matter of fact, you don't even have to wait. If you hold up and stay with me this morning in chapter 3, it is definitively shows that we are sinners. And sinners sin because they are sinners, because they are under sin's power. And Paul's responsibility in chapter 3, he has already told us last week that your position and your practices, your ethnicity doesn't make you right with God, and that you can do all you want to, the law is not going to save you. And Paul was bringing down judgment last week, and he decided that he'd stick with it just a little bit longer. But in chapter 3, praise God for chapter 3, we see that we not only have a judge, we not only have a prosecutor, we have a great physician. And doctors, physicians' responsibility is to tell you what's wrong with you. Ah, y'all didn't get it. They didn't mind Animal Farm, but maybe some of you have read Patrick Morley's A Man in the Mirror. That doesn't identify with anybody. Maybe you know a guy by the name formerly known as Michael Jackson. Oh, a little bit more response there. You know that he wrote a song and performed a song called The Man in the Mirror. The whole essence of Morley's book and Jackson's song is that when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we cannot become deluded. You know, some people are delusional. You know, some people who celebrate birthdays. They get up on their birthday and they look in the mirror and they see the same 18-year-old, 29-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old that was. You know, they see figure eights when in fact the reality is that they're suffering with a figure O. But in their minds, they see the same old person. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if you look in the mirror and you still see yourself as something other than a sinner, sinner, unrepentant, going to hell, sinner, saved by grace, unless you see yourself any other way, you're missing. You need to get a new mirror. You need to get a new mirror because your mirror is lying to you. But Paul says, I come by this morning to tell you that you are in fact a sinner. You've tried to. He just talked to the Jews and now the Gentiles, and he told them that, look here, just because you got the law and you ignore the requirements of the law, it doesn't make you just. Matter of fact, it just makes you just messed up. That's all. And I'm going to tell you, if anybody, I'm going to say it again because it's a public service announcement. You really want to know what's going on in the world today? Come to Family Church School. You want to know what's going on at Resurrection Baptist Church? Come to Family Church School, because this lesson is spot on. If you got up this morning, if you woke up Friday morning, if you stayed up Saturday and asked yourself why, you now have the answer, because all you had to do was read the Sunday school lesson and you would know that the reason things are the way they are is because of S-I-N, sin. And it's because of S-I-N-N-E-R-S, sinners. Because we are sinners, men will do anything. Because we are sinners, men will say anything. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Well, if you don't believe me, let's hear Paul. Paul will tell you right from the jump start that, wait a minute, you are messed up. He says, what then? Are we better off than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are under sin. Every one of you. That means all means no exceptions, folks. All means all. He says, don't you get all puffed up like you're somebody. He says, because let me tell you one thing. God's going to judge the quick and the dead. He's going to judge all of you. And when God sees you, no matter how you look to yourself in the mirror, God sees you for what you are. He either sees you a saved sinner, saved by grace, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, or he sees you as filthy rags before a one triune, omnipotent, holy God. Paul says, I'm making this judgment. I'm declaring we are all sinners. No one better than the other. We just all sinners. He says, I told you this last week, but I wanted to reiterate so that you can get it. Because in verse 10, he says something that every basic doctrine student knows. Yeah. Every 102 student knows. Yeah. I don't care if the choir don't know it, the ushers don't know it, the greeters don't know it, but the basic doctrine students, they know verse 10 because they've heard it over and over. And it reads what? As it is written. In other words, in the book that God penned himself, in the book that God inspired, in the book that's breathed, God breathed, it says this, there is none righteous, no, not even one. And they said, well, Paul, you know, your old Pontius, you know, your old persecutor of religious folk, you just saying that, you know, because you done had some psycho-emotive experience now, and you can say that. Paul said, wait a minute, hold. I told you as it is written. I ain't telling you what I'm saying. I'm telling you what the Word of God said. He said, wait a minute, long before this epistle is ever penned to the church at Rome, Psalms 14:1 says, there ain't one of y'all that is right. And he says, unless you come to the conclusion that I messed up, you'll be a sinner. And you'll keep on doing what you're doing. You'll be the biggest fool in the world. And the reason why we are messed up in the world today is that folk don't realize, Wes, that they are sinners. No better than anybody else. Yeah, you're in church. Yeah, you're all dressed up. Yeah, you're on casual Sunday. Yeah, you know, you got a couple of dimes bumping up against one another. Yeah, you got a couple of scriptures bumping up against one another. But you're still a sinner. You're a sinner. Because the word of God says there ain't none right. Not even one. I know you think a lot of your preachers and pastors and deacons and ushers and greeters and even Sunday school teachers. You think a lot of them, but there ain't one. That's right. No, not even one. In other words, they don't meet the standards of God. See, the reason why you think you're right, like I told you, you're measuring yourself against the wrong measuring stick. You're trying to see how much more right than you are than me. It don't take much to be more right than me. It don't take much at all. But are you more than Jesus? Can you meet God's standards? You can meet my standards. You know why? Because I let you fools do whatever you want to do. I'm going to tell you what I think you shouldn't do. But if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. And I ain't going to lose not one more hour of sleep worrying about why this is happening in the world, why that is happening in the world. It's happening because men, women, boys and girls, big people, little people, great people, small people, they're all are unrighteous. Every one of them. And Paul says, I want you to know this. This is the indictment. When you look in the mirror, all you should see is sinner. Sinner saved by grace or unrepentant sinner. That's all you should see because ain't none of you right. And just because you see one that's saved by grace, Paul said, you better check out verse 9. That don't make you no better than nobody else. Verse 11 says,
there is none that
seeketh after God. See, Paul comes to tell us that sin is a universal problem. Sin is in other words, it affects everybody. Not just one. It's affecting it's a universal problem. Not just in America, not in Canada, not in Turkey, not in Germany. It is a universal problem. It's all over. It's pervasive. And it has tarnished our relationship with God. Sin. That's what sin did. Sin divided us and God. Adam, where are you? Why would God have to ask that question when he used to walk in the cool of the garden with him? Sin. Sin separates us. That's why he says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation. You are separated from God. And it's a universal problem. Verse 11 says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You see, folks, when you stop understanding, knowing, or deliberately ignoring the word of God, you've stopped seeking him. The only way you can seek God, you know, I know they sing that song, Sister Nikita, I'm chasing after you, no matter what. Chasing after God? That ain't how you seek God. You seek God through his word. And Paul says, hey, ain't none of you even trying to seek him. Y'all are messed up. Because you're not seeking God. America is messed up because they're not seeking God. Right. Matter of fact, they are suppressing the things of God. That's why they don't want Ten Commandments in school. That's why they don't want prayer in school. Because nobody's seeking God. And when you don't see God, the consequences. Men left to themselves will do anything. I could put all of y'all in charge of America today and my life won't improve one bit. I would have just traded one group of sinners for another group. Sinners do what they do best, sin. It's a universal problem. Verse 12 there. Look at that. Here's what Paul says. Paul slips one right in on it. He says, y'all like an overripe plum. Y'all like overripe watermelon. Y'all like rotten fruit. It ain't no profit. It was good when it was nice and sweet, but rotten fruit is rotten fruit. Rotten fruit needs to be thrown out. Paul says here that you've gone out of your way to become this way. You're not even walking after God because you're not seeking Him. You don't want to know the things of Him. And God has already declared, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So, folk, why do you let them perpetrate this fraud on you that there is no God and call yourself wise? Let me get a stark. It's like Steve Harmon, he's the only one can handle this. Looking in the mirror, calling himself 34, 28. 35, blue-eyed, blonde. That's what I am when he sees that. Come on, are you delusional? Are you crazy? You're overripe. Your imagination is overripened. You are crazy. And you know what? You'll go out there and it'll have Steve come up here in Sunday school. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How y'all doing today? So good to see y'all. I tell you, child, I am. What? Steve Harmon? Something's wrong with me. It's got to be me. It's got to be. Take me on to the rest home now. You know, because it's me. I don't get it. Paul says that when you believe that good fruit, I mean, a rotten fruit is good fruit, that's an ugly problem. Right. Yeah. See, we've laughed, but sin is not only a universal problem, it's an ugly problem. Because that which was beautiful, ripe, pretty, tasteful, is now rotten. That's what sin has done to the relationship. Listen to verse 13. Paul says, I've made the indictment, but you know what? I just pronounced charges. Here's what God says about you. God, who is the great physician, here's what He says about you. You know how when you used to go to the doctor, I don't know about now, because I go to the doctor every 60 days or so. Somewhere I'm going to see somebody within 60 days. But I ain't been touched by a doctor in so long, I think I must be a carrier of some great disease or something. Because they don't touch you no more. All they do is they get on the computer. Oh, boy, I got some keen observation, don't I? Let me tell you one thing. Them old-timey doctors, the first thing they do, they say, open up that throat. And they ain't even Deshaun Lynch. Open up that throat. Because through the throat, they can tell, they can make a quick way, a summary diagnosis of something that may be going wrong. God says, open up your mouth. When you open up your mouth, let me tell you one thing. He says, that throat of yours is like a tomb. It stinks just like a rotten body in a tomb. Oh, this ain't pretty, because sin ain't pretty. Sin is an ugly problem. It says that your throat and your tongues are used for deceit. The reason why your breath, your throat, smell so bad is that it's the lies that's contained in your tongue. Men and women, boys and girls will say anything. You're talking about deceit? You can't watch nothing. I tell you what, right now, anybody with a phone, just flip over to AOL and read one of the news stories. And I guarantee you what they say and what the story is about are two different things. They just trying to get you over there. Well, that's deceit, you know? And look here, I ain't got a whole bunch of time. Don't be taking me to places thinking that I'm getting one thing and getting something else. But they just lie. Paul says, I open up that throat. The doctor opens up the throat. He looks at that tongue and he sees the seat. And under it, those lips are rattlesnakes. Paul says, you ain't seen nothing dangerous till you look into the mouth of sinners. Because it's filled with stench and deceit and poison. I mean, people are killing each other's reputation. And you know what? You know what? The thing that bothers me, we got all these educated folk in here, but yet our news outlets try to make us look like we didn't see what we saw. They try to tell me what I saw. Well, let me tell you what, I ain't Stevie Wonder. I know what I saw. And I don't need anybody to interpret what I saw. I saw it, I interpreted it, I applied it. Bottom line. But the world is going crazy because they don't seek after God. They don't seek after the knowledge of God. And here's the manifestation of it. This is what makes sin so ugly. And I know y'all going to agree with me on this. Verse 14. Whose
mouth is full of cursing and bitterness.
Because this old stinking throat and these lying tongues and this poisonous mouth, this poisonous mouth is so deadly, you guys constantly curse. In other words, when you the further you move away from God, you will say anything. Again, listen to your airwaves. Let me tell you something. Folks, most of y'all, you can't turn on your television and you got children. Unless you want them to be poisoned. Men and women will say anything. They will say anything. They will curse like it's nothing. You got people in the church. They'll say anything. And they, oh Lord, did I say that? Yeah, you said that. Excuse me, y'all. Oh, I don't know where that came from. I tell you where it came from. It came from that lying, sepulcher-filled mouth. Because they'll say anything. They'll ruin your reputation. They'll say, people run at a chance to curse you, to be bitter, to just, oh, it bothers me that we've come to a time where, let me tell you one thing. You're talking about respect. I'm like, well, you know, you shouldn't use that kind of language because we got ladies, present. I don't even care now. Cause everybody cursing. Say anything. And think that's cute? Think that's cool? Because you can say anything? The great physician says, you got a lying mouth. It's a filthy mouth. And it's all because of sin. Verse 15 says, I have never seen people so bitter and crazy, so just look at San Antonio, folks. I've been in San Antonio a long time. Harris, you guys been here all your life. Come on now. This is gone crazy. People just shooting people to be shooting people. You know why? They're sinners. They're sinners, they're depraved, and they're going out to do their own thing. You better tell your teenage children that it is better to run and live to fight another day than to stand and boldly spew out that junk that will get them killed. Excuse me, sir. Could I have your ID and driver's license, proof of insurance? Yes, sir, officer. Got 3-4 copies here. How can I assist you in this investigation today? Oh, well, it normally don't happen that way. You know, it comes and they say, maybe go like this. Look here, boy, where are you going? Sir, here's where I'm going, officer. I'm going right down here to my home. Can I assist you in your investigation today? Now, the guy who said that is 30 years my junior. But guess what? He got a gun, and I don't have mine right now. Y'all better listen. You better listen. You don't have no gun, and they got a gun? Tell me, when did common sense abandon this generation? Because if you don't have a gun and a thug got a gun in the club, you know what? You don't say nothing to him. You fade on back. Now you may go show up with your stuff to make it even, but you don't stand there. You don't stand there and argue with somebody with a gun. I don't care whether they're in authority or out authority. Shut your mouth, comply, and live for another day, because you can always deal with them. Well, we don't realize they're not smart. We're not raising smart people. That right because of sin. We didn't sin and made us stupid. Let me tell you one thing. When I was growing up in Harnett County in North Carolina, and the man come down there and whoop somebody's head for no reason, let me tell you one thing. He didn't show up for a long time after. Nobody fought then, nobody got killed, but he didn't show up. Because when that cop car show up in the neighborhood, they be buying a new one. And nobody know, oh no, not my boy. He's standing there with the Bible. Oh no, not my boy. But you're gonna stand? Because we are stupid. Because we've lost our way. We've lost our way. We'll say anything. We'll do anything. And we're quick to kill each other. Because verse 16 says, destruction and misery are in our ways. That's ugly, folk. They're quick. Let me tell you, you don't think people are quick? Just go back 10 years. There's a hostage scene. Days go by. You know, please come out. Can we get you some water? Can we send you some pizza? Now? 1 hour. You coming out? No, no. Number two. Hour two. You coming out? No, because I don't like y'all. I just want to kill y'all. Number three, I'm giving you one more chance. Would you please come out? No. When you come in, I'm killing you. Okay. Robot, go in there and blow him up. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you. Times are changing. And the only remedy is God himself. You're not going to get any justice in the court. You're not going to get any mercy in the court. Folk will kill you because they are quick. Their feet, their throat, their mouth is messed up. And now their feet are quick to rush in and wipe you out. And you're talking about you, babe. I'm bad. Yeah, homie, I'm bad. Let me tell you how bad you are. You couldn't even stand up to the majority of these. That back row back there, excluding. You couldn't handle those 44 deacons that sit up front. Run up against one of them. You bad. Catch them on a bad day. And see how safe you are. Because everybody is quick. Nobody, everybody's offended. Everybody wants to say what they want to say. Well, I just speak my mind. You ain't got no mind. Shut up. Let your mind be in as in you as it was in Christ Jesus. But we can't do it because of sin. Sin is a universal problem. Sin is an ugly problem. There ain't nothing more ugly than that. And I tell you, I ain't going to no more funeral. I ain't participating in no more of that mess. Y'all just let the dead bury the dead. We need a rock. We need a shelter from all of this. And we need to make sure that we're not out there participating in that kind of foolishness. I ain't going to be quick to judge nobody. I ain't going to be quick to say nothing to nobody. You are best off tending to your own business. Now, y'all don't believe me. I ain't all that bad. Here in Texas, bro, man went up. Nice. Young lady, nice. From the burbs. You know, oh, what a nice pray. I'm just going to pray on this one. And I ain't talking about P-R-A-Y. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get this one. Went up there messing with sister girl. Sister girl said, pull up, I turn up, boom, boom, boom. Shut this guy down. What? What, a woman? Tender, nice. When a sinner is afraid, they are most dangerous. And that's what's wrong. Did y'all hear what I just said? You remember, harking back, some of you that are in my age group. You know, one thing you always knew, sooner or later, the big bad bully was going to get it. Because if somebody is afraid of you, they won't just hurt you. They will kill you. Just a warning. While you running off your mouth, flying down the interstate, gonna stop, pull up beside of you, and ask this fool what he's doing, you better go on about your business. You better pray for them. Matter of fact, when you go by them, you just do like this right here. I'm praying for you. Because you'll be surprised. You act up here in the fool if you want to up here at the Resurrection Baptist Church. You act a fool if you want to. You'll mess with Uncle Walter will take you down that aisle. Because sin is an ugly problem. It's a universal problem. Everybody is affected by it. And the way of peace have they not known. You're talking about peace? There is no peace. The reason why we have no peace is because men and women, boys and girls, are at war with God. They are enemies of God, and God is slowly unpeeling his protection from around us. That's why you see all this craziness going. God is saying, I'm letting you onto your own devices. I'm turning you over. We saw it last week, a couple of weeks ago. Reprobate mind. Y'all want to act a fool? Go on and act a fool. But when you get through acting a fool, after you done raised all this mayhem on yourselves, then you got to deal with me. And you don't want to deal with me. That's what God is saying. You don't want to deal with me. Go on and act the fool. Exact all this misery on each other. But in the end, I'm going to judge that. And God says, look here, you've heard the judge. You've also heard this physician tell you what your problem is. See, what happens is we don't want to submit to the diagnosis. The doctor tells you, you got cancer, and you up here saying, well, you know what? If my mama would have fed me more Cheerios and, what? Let's call it excuse abuse. Your problem should be, doc, is there a cure? Is there a balm in Gilead? Not a B-O-M-B, but a B-A-L-M. Is there some soothing medication that you can bring forth to me today? Because we need a healing, folk. Sin is universal. It's ugly. Ah, and you know what? It has sustaining power. You know why? Because men have not submitted themselves to sanctification, even saved sinners. Do you know what sanctifying is? Sanctifying is being made better, the process of being becoming. In other words, sanctification is simply you have been saved from the power of sin. In other words, sin doesn't dominate your life the way that you used to. You shouldn't be acting the way now, since you've been saved, that you acted before you got saved. You acted that way before you got saved. We're acting like a whole nation that nobody saved. You out here, instead of loving folk, you want to shoot folk. And instead of praying for those who despitefully use you, we out there want to shoot folk. Can I give y'all a, this is TG, wait a minute. Just put this on pause. Let me give you some advice. You can't win. You can get all the guns in the world. The NRA, the BRA, the people against gun, people are for gun. Let me tell you one thing. The only thing a gun does is set you up for the person to exact the maximum amount of force on you. Okay? You better go to your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
For all of those who are of Afrocentric persuasion, you came out of a condition here in America that only God could have delivered you from. You're not a gun, not one gun. Wasn't no ballot of the bullets. It's because people pray, and they used to be afraid of your prayer. They ain't afraid of your prayers no more. You know why? Because you act like them. You got your heat, they got their heat. Look here, let's just heat this thing up. You want me to light this up? You got heat, I got heat, everybody. All God's children got heat. Let's just kill each other. Because there is no peace. There will be, without God, there will be no peace. You can take God out of this country, but we are reaping the benefits, the manifestation of taking God out. You sinners just go on sinning. Go on and have, you know what? You might as well go on and have a good time. Because I guarantee you there won't be no good time in hell. And I can't, go on, have your fun now. Do your thing. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Suck it to whoever you want it to. Shoot whoever you want to. Say whatever you want to say. Every time you get mad in business meeting, you got to act like a spiritual banshee. And you call yourself saved. I know why you do it. Sin. But it's time to stop the madness. Let me get off this trip. Let me tell you what Jimi Hendrix, he would say, now, hey, man, this is a bad trip here. We got to get off of this. Got to give up some of this stuff. This is like a psychedelic nightmare. The only calming thing is I know why. I understand why. I understand why. It's sin. Sin. This is because we always thought sin was cute. We always thought it was, yeah, it affects everybody. We didn't think it was all that ugly, you know. Because, you know, what's ugly about two beautiful people hooking up on a night affair? What's so ugly about that? What's so ugly? You know, you jumped the line, end the ticket, didn't pay to get in, you know, got a hookup. What's ugly about that? What's ugly about a little lie? Yeah, I told him to be here at 8 because I knew Fred was going to be here at 7 and me and Fred would be gone. What's so ugly? The fact is, sin is ugly. It's pervasive. And if we see it right before our eyes, just being manifested. All the results, it's violence. It's deceit. It's negative consequences. It's ugly. You know, it's like, for you brothers, it's like meeting a beautiful woman. Oh, beautiful, fine in every way. You know, teeth like pearls, eyes like diamond, you know, wavy hair, figure eight, you know, I get all the stuff that surprises our imagination, because that's what it does. Get married, fast forward 10 years. Oh man, this is the ugliest woman I ever met in my life. Physically, probably hadn't changed. Probably has not changed. Is the same person, physically. But you can't stand them. Because sin is ugly. You get beauty's only skin deep. And they talking about ugliness to the bone? No, beauty's only skin deep, but sin is all the way to the bone, to the very core, to your very essence. It's ugly. And it'll make you do anything, say anything, act any kind of way. That's the power of sin. That's the danger of it. It'll make you do stuff that you know, little old sweet you would never do that. Oh, surely Brother Lee would not say that. I'm not even surprised anymore. Phone ring. Dingsney? You Dingsney? Yeah. You are Bob Clayton's deacon? Yes, sir. Well, did you know? I ain't surprised. Hang up. I ain't getting tripped out no more. I, my heart, like I said, hey God, I got a lot less ticks than I had a day or so ago. I ain't gonna waste them. I'm worrying about folk that are sinful and won't change. Because sin is an ugly thing. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wisdom is, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear God, you'll certainly do it. Because if you don't fear God, you're God. And that's why people think they can do whatever they want to. That's why they can kill you without any reservation, because they are superior to you. You're nothing. Life has become meaningless. You are the creator. Verse 19. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you, sin is not only universal, it's not only ugly, it's undeniable. Yeah. Paul says, I've put forth an argument of absurdity just to prove to you that sin is undeniable. And for those of you who think that you're just good law-abiding citizens, that you got the law and that's all you need, you are sadly mistaken. Because the law won't save you. The law won't bring you closer to Christ. The law, it just won't do it. The law will condemn you. Let me give you an example. You at 25,000 feet in an airplane. And you have two things. Your 1 year you dug up this humongous rock, and you looked at that rock, and it was solid in every way. And it became your good luck rock. You took it everywhere you wanted, everywhere you went. Now you got this rock at 25,000 feet. And they come over the intercom, Terry, Tracy, the plane is going down. Get out. So here's what you do. You take off your parachute. You pick up your rock. And you jump out of the plane. It's a good luck rock. Rock is real solid. But you left your parachute for the rock. You left your parachute for the rock. you're going down, down, down. And guess what? With the parachute, you would go down, but you would touch down softly. The rock is going to be your headstone for your grave. Because the law condemns. The parachute is Jesus. The rock is the law. It will only condemn a sinner. Verse 20 says it. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what?
Justified.
In his sight.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
It says the only thing the law will do for you is reveal your sin. The law just reveals your sin. Doesn't save you from sin. You see, sin is undeniable, folks. If you jump out that plane without a parachute, you're going down. To get to Christ, it's like someone who's living in Hawaii and they decide no airplane, no boat, I'm just going to start on the, what would be the west side of the island, and I'm going to get a running start, and I'm going to jump to the mainland. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it is when you're a sinner. You think of some of the craziest things to do that will only kill you.
All right.
They will jump at the edge of Hawaii, and they may go on a good day, on a Bob Beeman day, they may go 26 feet. 26 feet is a long way from the main line. Mainland. Sin is universal. Sin is ugly. Sin is undeniable. Stop living under the power of sin. Next week, the judge, the prosecutor has made his case. The great physician has diagnosed your problem. Next week, we're going to see a remedy, a cure, to your dilemma. Come see me next week. God bless you.